When I was a kid, I was very close with my grandfather. I had a very special opportunity to have a tremendously deep relationship with him from a very young age. My grandfather was a real European Jew, somebody who had seen not just family, friends, and community totally wiped out, but an entire world, something today we can't fathom. And he was someone who was a deeply good man, who rebuilt his life here. And I always had a very strong sense, since I was very little, about what it meant to be a Jew, and that sometimes being a Jew means being a target. But I'll tell you, it was hard to really understand in practice, because when I was little, you didn't have as much anti-Semitism as happened later on. And you didn't hear about Jews being killed as often as you do. And then I remember when I was your age, in high school, and the terrorism in Israel really began, much worse than today. Multiple suicide bombings every week. Thousands of Jews killed in a few years, things that you guys, Baruch Hashem, no longer hear about. And I remember his words echoing in my head, and I began to really understand what it meant. That to be a Jew at times means that we are targeted for persecution. And I look back to those days, and that was my transformational moment. That was when I realized what this was really about. And in a sense, for you guys, what happened now in Pittsburgh, when you look back at it, it'll be your transformational moment. To hear about 11 Kedoshim who were killed for one reason, and one reason alone, because they were Jews, is really not anything new in Jewish history. But for you, it'll be the realization of what we've known for a very long time. That at times, no matter where we have lived, no matter what we have seen, no matter how good things seem to be, there will always be the hatred of the Jewish people. And that persecution is a part of our Havtacha, of our covenant with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And before I tell you the good part, and the happy ending of everything, I want to share with you the event that Rabbi Edelman was referring to. When I learned in Israel, now 10 years ago, I had the great zechus to learn in Merkaz Harav, the yeshiva of Rav Kook, whose picture you see in many places, the black and white picture around the school. And some of my students have heard the story from me before. I was there during the infamous Merkaz Harav massacre, when a terrorist walked into the yeshiva to a room of boys studying on a regular night and massacred and let off 600 rounds from an AK-47, the same weapon used in Pittsburgh, and killed 8 boys and injured many, many others. And I remember at that time feeling again what my grandfather had told me. That at times throughout Jewish history, no matter what country we've lived in, no matter where we are, we will be also targets of persecution. But I learned another incredible lesson. Another lesson that my grandfather told me. The lesson that I think is most important for all of you to take from this. Sometimes Jews feel bad about being targets. Sometimes there are even Jews that wish people didn't know they were Jewish and they could just fit in and be like everybody else and not be special and not be chosen. And a little bit, you can't blame them because it can be very hard. But alas, that is not our fate. My great uncle, who lives now in North Shore Towers, right near Great Neck, was 13 years old when he went to Auschwitz. And he survived. Again, something we can't understand. He wrote a book about his experiences. His granddaughter teaches in public school today and brought him in to speak to the kids. And one of the boys asked him this question. Sir, after all you went through, do you feel bad about being Jewish? So he looked at him and he said, my boy, I was born a Jew and I will die a Jew. We can never feel bad about being targets. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us Havtacha. He gave us a promise, a covenant, that we will be persecuted in exile, but we will always overcome. And no matter how bad things seem, we will always get up. Yaakov Avinu, our forefather, was attacked. Who was he attacked by? He had a fight, right, with Esav's Malach. Where did Esav's Malach injure him? In the Gid Hanasha, right? So what happens until this day, we don't eat from the Gid Hanasha. And the Torah tells us, why don't we eat from the Gid Hanasha? To remember that Yaakov was injured. Now one can ask a very simple question. Why would we want to remember something so terrible for all of eternity, like Yaakov being injured and getting a limp? So the Shem Yishmuel, one of the great Hasidic masters, tells us, we're not remembering Yaakov's injury. We're remembering the fact that Yaakov was injured. He was limping, he was hurt, and he was down. But he got back up. And he didn't let that stop him. Says the Shem Yishmuel, the message that the Jewish people take from Yaakov and from all the great heroes and Kedoshim in our history is that being targets of persecution makes us stronger. It makes us better. It makes us realize that we are the ones that HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose to be His people. And that it is that that makes us the chosen people. And it's that that makes us so great and makes our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu so very special. HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises us that even though this will happen throughout history, it will never break us. And that even though this will happen throughout Jewish history, we will always remain strong. And just look, only a little while later, the Holocaust is not even a distant memory. How incredible how our people have advanced. Less than 100 years ago in Israel, when they did the census, there were 80,000 Jews living in Palestine. You know how many Jews live there today? Who knows? Over 6 million. That's a population growth of nearly 8,000%. There is no such thing in human history as a population growth of that size. Just a short while after the Holocaust, HaKadosh Baruch Hu fulfills His Havtacha to us, His covenant that persecution will never ever break us. So the question then is, and that's really the final question, and the message you should all take home. What is it about our people? What is it that we can do to make sure this recovery happens? What can we do for the people in Pittsburgh? What can we do for each other? What can we do for the Jewish nation? How can we give back? So you can give charity to Pittsburgh, and you should. And you can even go there and help out with whatever need, and you should. But there's something else that you can do. And I want to tell you a story. Anyone here ever heard of President Eisenhower? Yeah? Okay. So some of you will have heard this before. Oh. Correct. He was a general before that. So what happened? After the Holocaust, after the liberation from the concentration camps, General Eisenhower then went to view what was happening in the displaced persons camps. The DP camps were all the Jews who had nowhere to go because nobody wanted them and no one let them into their country to see what was happening. He went to one DP camp, and in that DP camp was the famous Klosenberger Rebbe, who had lost 11 children in the Holocaust, and his wife, and was somebody that was helping the Jewish community in the DP camps when they had nothing. He heard General Eisenhower had come, and he went to speak to him, and he went out in his talis. And there is a photo of this, if you don't believe me. There are two accounts of the conversation. One written by the translator, who was a religious Jew, who was a chaplain in the American army, and another one that was written by somebody else there. So there's proof that this occurred. General Eisenhower was speaking to him about the situation of the Jews in the camp, and he asked what he could do for them, and they discussed different things they need. And then at the end, he asked the Klosenberger Rebbe for a bracha. He saw he looked like a very holy man, and he asked him for a blessing. So the Klosenberger said to him, "You should reach the highest office in your land." True story. Both accounts said that. He was so impressed and so touched, he said, "Rabbi, is there anything I can do for you personally? This took place on Yom Kippur. The Klosenberger Rebbe said to him, in a few days we have a holiday called Sukkot. And on Sukkot we take four species in Esro, Gelula, Hadas, and Araba. We don't have access to them here. If I could have one request, can you ensure that we'll have Arba Minim, Lulav, and Esrog for Sukkot this year? Now, if General Eisenhower asked me a question at that time, that would not have been my answer. But this is all he wanted. General Eisenhower had them flowing in from Italy, the Arba Minim, and the Jews in the camp had it for Sukkot. And he was so amazed, he told the people around him that all this rabbi who had lost anything wanted was to do a mitzvah. That he had never met someone as holy as that again in his life. You know what makes us keep going? A mitzvah. An act of chesed. Doing something for Hashem. You know what gives back to the Jewish people and even to the people in Pittsburgh? A mitzvah. Every time in the morning you get up and daven, you're giving back. Every time a boy puts on tefillin, you're giving back. Every time you speak nicely to one of your friends, you're giving back. Every time you hold yourself back from speaking Lashon Hara, you're giving back. Every time you do anything that is Jewish, any little mitzvah that you can possibly think of, no matter how small, no matter how many people know about it, you're giving back and you are ensuring the other part of our Havtacha with Hashem, our covenant, that He will always save us. It is our Torah and our mitzvos that keeps us going. It is our Torah and our mitzvos that make us chosen. And it is our Torah and our mitzvos that make sure we will always be saved from suffering. I hope everyone here, after a terrible event like this horrible tragedy, can take upon themselves to do one more thing. This is what we did in Merkaz Arav after the massacre. To do one more thing, one little mitzvah, one small thing in memory of these 11 Kedoshim who lost their lives. Because if you do so, you won't only be giving back to the living that are here, but even to those that have passed. Amir Tz Hashem, we should only speak about Simchas in the future.